A very good afternoon from the tropics here in Bali, Indonesia. Delighted to introduce our audience to a esteemed panel of variously activists, lawyers, and voices of Israel connected to the medical apartheid that is rolling out in Israel. To any of those of you who know the work that I do in the audience, you will know that, you know, the way in which the consolidation of the transnational control cabal takes place, it operates in different demographics, in different degrees of intensity. In Israel, you're likely to see a new world order dial in Scandinavia, they'll be dialing it in the United Kingdom, they're dialing it in Canada and Australia, they're dialing it in more than they're doing so in Ecuador or in Botswana or even in Indonesia or Thailand in Southeast Asia. And that's connected to the way in which this transnational creature defines the different demographics and needs to bring about this ecosystem of obedience and acquiescence to the tyranny of what is taking place, which is variously a demonically possessed paradigm where the pyramidal system of control and supremacy and dominion is out of control at this time. There is a very significant move against the human genome. That is absolutely what is taking place, Alpha to Omega. So when you talk about ritual humiliation of humanity in an orchestration of overreaching control by the bureaucrats and the bureaucrats and the technocrats, who themselves are mindless drones, invariably, who are fulfilling function. They are simply fulfilling their function as a drone class plantation slaves. It's not that the local health administrative officials are in and of themselves wicked people. Invariably, they are compromised people. If you know my work, you'll know I've done relentless broadcasting for the last year on a daily basis. I've met with certainly 80%+ of the leading icons in the medical science and forensic analytic domain, looking into the modification of endogenous RNA, which is what these godless vaccinations are all about, looking into the control mechanisms of the New World Order, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and all of the satanic and Luciferian agendas rolling out through the vaccination programs and through the protocols, which are infracting and infringing against every single civil liberty and human right known to man, more so in the last 1 year than ever before in the history of our species. Has it been so controlled and articulated? So we're moving into, we're still in a petri dish. This is a litmus test that the satanic and luciferic elements operating within compartmentalized echelon within the state of Israel, which is a very powerful one, connected directly to Congress in the United States and the so-called deep state, which is also MI5, MI6, Mossad, CIA, NSA agendas, variously compartmentalized, hyper-compartmentalized. The Crown of England, Washington District of Columbia, Tel Aviv, Rome, and the Vatican complex are essentially, and Basel, Switzerland, with the Bank of International Settlements. Never forget, this is all driven by the coin of Caesar. The compromise of your local officials and petty tyrants on the street that are infringing against your civil liberties, they are doing it for coin because their pensions are pegged to their rule book and their salaries are pegged to them following the insane statutes and the ordinances and codes and statutes, which are not laws, incidentally. That's another discussion. I'm going to bring on first, and quite appropriately, a human rights lawyer specializing in medical law, and that's Tamir Turgal, who is usually engaged in high-tech business. And I imagine that Tamir's life has been hijacked, like mine has, and many of our lives have been hijacked by the systemic evil that we're seeing. It's playing out in Israel probably more than anywhere in the world right now. We have well over 1,000 people online already. Those numbers will jump up very significantly in the next hour. Tamir, you're very welcome, my friend. How are you?
Thank you very much for inviting me, Sasha. I'm very well.
Tamir, you have the floor. Please say whatever it is you feel you need to say.
Okay, so I'll introduce myself quickly. I'm a human rights lawyer. I'm specialized in medical rights, and I'm fighting against medical tyranny. I will use this stage for a short introduction, explaining what I am seeing as a person, as an individual, and also in my profession. I think medical tyranny is here before 2020. I know it because I'm fighting against it for quite a long time. And it's it was on the sidelines of society. So people were not aware. What we have seen on 2020 and on is a significant escalation with something that started way before that. And we, the majority of the people, were not aware. I knew right then and there, early in March, that was a year ago, and definitely stronger in April, that everything is leading to vaccination. Nobody was talking about any vaccine back then, but when the Prime Minister of Israel said, you know, we don't have any solution, he was scaring the people, many will die, we have to fight this pandemic, and there is no vaccine that we can rely on. I understood that there is a vaccine on the way. And months have started to pass, and we've seen that they were talking about, oh, we're going to have a vaccine on 2023, 2022, then 2021. And they started with vaccination actually at the end of 2020. I think what is really troubling for me is that to see how quickly society is changing, and maybe we'll have more time to elaborate, and I wanna have my great colleagues here also to have their own time to share. So I would just, maybe just we'll finish with that statement. It started way before 2020. It's not what we've seen, the whole 2020 and now 2021, this is not a wrong policy. And I agree with what you say, even though a lot of information is not, I'm not exposed to it, but I know there is a vicious plan, and this is an execution of a plan. And Israel, unfortunately, is taking the lead in that execution. And it's troubling for me more than anything else is how quickly we, the majority people, can be brainwashed and rushing into taking material, injecting this genetic material or artificial, might be changing genetic material, the doctor here would probably elaborate, into their body, when we know, I as a professional know, that it takes between 5 to 10 years to approve vaccines. So we have now a new norm, a new standard, and people are just rushing in Israel, and people worldwide don't understand how this is happening, that a country is changing so fast. And not only that, there is a lot of aggression between people to people, civilians to civilians, about around the vaccination. So if you're not getting that, you're getting banned from places. And we are now, me and my small team around me that is growing by day, of lawyers are trying to push back. It's not easy. So I will say more about what's going on, but I think as an introduction, we have to discuss today not only about what's going on in my point of view, but also on the day after, because we're going to use it at some point.
Tamir, brother, thank you. That's a beautiful introduction, much, much appreciated. I'm going to say something here which is pretty shocking, and I think that you should take very serious stock of what I'm about to say. Israel in 2021 is apparently leading the Fourth Reich, because that's exactly what we're dealing with, people. This is a transfer of the eugenics of Dr. Mengele in the 1930s and 1940s, which were exfiltrated across to North America through Project Paperclip in the mid to late 1940s. Okay, the deep state genesis occurred when the United States government at the end of the Second World War did a filthy, dirty deal. that on that island of Yalta, when Stalin and Churchill met up, okay, with the American premier, and America's deal was they wanted the dirty science from the Nazis. They got it through Project Paperclip. They took over 800, I believe it's closer to 2,000 Nazi scientists and doctors and medical professionals, clinicians, people who were involved in the eugenics experiment. That was essentially the genesis of what we're seeing today, which is a mass eugenics exercise. I'm going to bring on Dr. Moran Cronenberg, who is a GP and integrative medicine specialist, and you're very, very welcome here today. Welcome, Moran. What do you have to say?
Hi, Sasha. Thank you for inviting me here. First of all, I want to say that I do want to share with you my feelings of fear to be a part of something like that, even though I truly believe and I know the things you're saying are most probably true, but here they won't accept doctors that will ask questions that will put in under doubt the things that are been going on in the last year. And as Tamir Turgal said, I understand it didn't begin in 2020. It's something at least in the medical part. I do understand that all the universities of medicine has been changed in the last 100 or 150 years, in these last 100 or 150 years. And we've been taught how to treat people with medications who mostly don't work on chronic and idiopathic diseases. And now it's continuing with treating people with some kind of vaccination who wasn't approved, and people are lied to by the government and by the health administration. They are saying on the TV that this vaccine was an FDA approved. Even my most relative people won't believe me when I tell them it was not approved by the FDA. And one of the most saddest things are that in the last year, people have been brainwashed here in Israel. People are so stressed. My patients are mostly stressed and having fears, asking for medications to stop their fears, such as benzodiazepines and SSRIs for depression. People, children don't want to connect with each other, to hug each other. My impression, where I work in a Kupat Cholim, which is like a medical center where people are going to their general doctor, to their family doctor. So some people did got the disease of corona. Most of them only got a cold. But most of the people, hundreds, if not thousands of people, became sick by the stress, by the economic situation, by the isolation. It was so horrified to see that. And now people are going against each other. If somebody can't wear a mask, everybody will tell them, you should put a mask on. And people are getting aggressive to each other. People are so stressed on the streets. It became something normal to ask, did you take the vaccination or not? It's not normal to get into the private details of other people. Nobody never asked nobody else if they have HIV or tuberculosis or other infectious diseases that can be contagious. And now it became something normal. Everybody will ask me if I took the vaccination, and if I don't want to respond on it, or if I tell them that it's my private things, I'm the weird one. I'm the weird one. Other doctors are giving me really hard time because of what I see and my opinions. And the science is in danger now because other science people just want to ask questions and they're not allowed. They're being threatened by the Ministry of Health now.
Indeed. Okay. Well, all that tells us is that the weaponization of the health administration sector and the government is complete. It's locked and loaded. How should people of the good soil deal with a government that is now in breach of its mandate, which is to protect, serve, and defend the people? You see, this is the beauty about what's happening. On the one hand, it's diabolical, it's demonic. On the other hand, it's demonstrating to us the complete division between the living and the dead. A government is a corporate fiction. The flunkies who are working in the parliament, in the Knesset, in Israel, they are not goddamn servants of the people. These people are now cashiers. They are clerks of the bank, of the transnational bankster class. That is what's going on. But that's reflective of all governments. All parliamentarians in the world, more or less now, are cashiers. Policemen on the street are cashiers. Everyone is a cashier for the parent corporation. That's the distinction between the living and the dead. We can now see it. The question is, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with it in honor? How do you maintain your integrity? And above all, how do you maintain your God-given conscience and not breach your conscience? If you're going to breach your conscience because you need to put food on the table for your kids, then you are destroying the livelihood of your children by so doing. So this is where morality and the philosophical spiritual framework of humanity is coming into great focus for each of us, because it's affecting 7 billion souls on earth. Dr. Moran, thank you for that introduction. Greatly appreciated. We'll be bringing you back on the panel shortly. I want to bring in Michael Bloom, who is an independent broadcaster, founder of The Daily Show, We Are Free TV. Michael, you're very, very welcome today. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Sasha, and thank you very much for inviting me. And obviously, thank you very much for everything you do for humanity. Highly appreciated. And today I would like to share figures, facts. If you don't mind sharing my screen, I'd appreciate that, Sasha. Okay, so what I'm going to show you here, these are my notes. I'm going to show you this agreement, which has been signed between, this is a letter from the FDA to Pfizer, dated the 25th of February. This letter here states, it talks about an emergency use authorization, as you can see here, which the FDA has given to Pfizer. Further down the line, they talk about the fact that it is, as you can see, it is an investigational vaccine, not licensed for any indication, not licensed. Further down here, they specify different conditions that Pfizer need to meet. And quite amazingly, right here, they say this very specifically. All descriptive printed matter, advertising and promotional material relating to the use of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine clearly and conspicuously shall state that this product has not been approved for or licensed by FDA. I repeat, has not been approved or licensed by FDA, but has been authorized for emergency use. So this is the letter to Pfizer. Now, another thing I want to show you here is a fact sheet on the FDA website, which is here. As you can see, the domain is the fda.gov. And this fact sheet here for recipients and caregivers of the vaccine, so-called vaccine. So here it says, what is the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine? And it says the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine is an unapproved, as you can see, unapproved vaccine that may prevent COVID-19. And as we can see, black on white, there is no FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. So that's another thing I wanted to share with you, which brings me to what the Israeli government is doing. So nevertheless, despite what we've just seen, on the Israeli Ministry of Health website, you can see Professor Roni Gamzu. And as you can see here, it shows you the vial of the little bottle of the vaccine. And then there's a little arrow showing approved with a tick and a round red approval seal of the FDA. This is the government blatantly lying to its citizens about this vaccine being approved, which obviously it hasn't. Moving on, I would like to talk to you about a shocking collaboration agreement between the Israeli government and Pfizer. Here is the agreement. It is available on the internet. As you can see, collaboration agreement. Now, as you can see, it's blacked out, it's blocked. Many sections of it are unavailable for the public, to the public to see. Now, can you hear me? Because I can hear a noise.
Yeah, it's probably rain in the background here. We're in the middle of the monsoons. I'll mute my mic. Carry on, Mike.
I see. Lucky you. So as you can see, Clause 2 states the project objective. So the objective of the project to measure and analyze epidemiological data arising from the product rollout to determine whether herd immunity is achieved after reaching a certain percentage of vaccination coverage in Israel. So it's obviously saying that herd immunity, they're going to check whether herd immunity is achieved. So it might not be achieved. Again, an indication that the Israeli people are being used as guinea pigs in a laboratory. It further states that the parties, you see clause 2.2, principles of collaborations, the parties agree that the project is intended to generate and analyze epidemiological and population level vaccine effectiveness data, vitally necessary for public health purposes that may inform vaccine technical recommendations globally. So they specifically say the word effectiveness data. So the vaccine effectiveness. So the vaccine effectiveness is unknown yet during this trial on the Israeli people. However, once it is determined whether it is effective or not, then globally technical recommendations can be drawn and conclusions can be realized and worded. Again, after the Israeli people have been experimented on. So another thing, shocking thing in this agreement is clause number 6. As you can see, throughout the whole contract, there's stuff that's been blacked out. And what do you know? Clause number 6, indemnification, limitation of damages and liability. So I wonder, the whole clause has been completely blacked out. So I can only imagine, that it could either say that should any Israeli citizen be harmed in any way by this vaccine, then perhaps Pfizer take full responsibility and undertake to totally and utterly and completely reimburse any damages in that respect. Either it says that, or it says that Pfizer will not take any responsibility whatsoever, and if any damage is caused, then they're not responsible. I've no idea what this says. Again, we can only guess. Then further down, you see more stuff's being blacked out. I mean, why are the Israeli people not allowed to know this stuff? Why is it being kept as a secret? As you can see here, the dispute resolution completely blacked out, censored, and the Israeli people are not allowed to know what is being done behind their backs to do with their health. So that was this shocking agreement. Another lie, which I want to talk about, is the whole pandemic. I mean, yeah, there's the vaccination seems to be it hasn't been tested and hasn't been approved, but there's no pandemic, as many people know. Now, I'd like to show you the I went to the Israeli Office for National Statistics, and there's this Excel spreadsheet here that you could download. And as you can see, you see 2020, you see the years here, 2019, and here I've totaled all the total number of deaths. That's 45,000. And then in 2018, it's 44,000, etc. So I will show you the figures all in one place. So as you can see here, in 2019, there was 45,999. In 2020, there was 48,689. So there's an increase of 2,690. Now, let's ask ourselves, in the total number of deaths, now, is that a problem that there's been this increase? Well, between the years 2014 and 2015, there's been an increase of 2,088, which is pretty close. And given the fact that the society increases, that the number of population increases constantly, then obviously, as the years go by, more people die each year. Also, between 2011 and 2012, there has been an increase of 1,200 deaths. Now, I don't remember in 2015 that anybody shut down the economy and lock down the citizens and force them to wear ridiculous rags on their faces, and even worse, inject themselves with some sort of experimental injection that hasn't been approved by the FDA. Now, the numbers, now, to my amazement, here in 2021, we only have 1 month available. Now, here you see the amount of people who died on average in January, 168, which is an increase of 35 people per month, because you see here every month I've actually totaled the average amount of people, and you see that in 2020 only 7 people a day died more compared to 2019, and in 2019 only 4 people a day died compared to 2018, and in 2018 minus 16 people died, etc. And here we see a massive increase to 35. 35 people per day more than in previous years. Now, that is a huge increase, which could only be explained by the introduction of these vaccines that started late December 2020. Now, another important thing I want to show you here is there's an article here to further back my assumption that the reason for the increased deaths in January 2021 are as a result of the vaccines. There's a website called nakim.org, run by a gentleman, unbelievable guy. I interviewed him the other day, who obviously is very courageous and is not afraid to say things. So here there's a very long article, scientific article that he did together with another doctor that he works with. And I just want to read this. This is the result. The vaccine, we conclude that the Pfizer vaccines for the elderly killed during the fifth week vaccination period about 40 times more people than the disease itself would have killed, and about 260 times more people than the disease among the young age class. So what he means is because, 260 times more people, young people, died as a result of the vaccine, because the ratio is greater between young people and probability of death from the disease compared to old people and probability of death. That's why only 40 times more people, as if it's not a lot, but it's a huge amount in itself, 40 times more elderly people died, and 260 more time people died from the vaccine. Another shocking article that this gentleman, Haim, I believe his name is, he wrote, is showing that the Ministry of Health published this here in Hebrew. You can see that they basically said, I wrote it here for you, they wrote another article backed by a viral video. There was another viral video that's been going around Israel for the last few days talking about the same thing. So it talks about a report by the Ministry of Health saying at one point that 0.2 people died during the period between the first and second vaccination. But later on, or very quickly, they went, when they realized what they were disclosing here, they went and they changed the figures to 0.05 died of various causes. They literally went in and changed that. And there's, of course, on the internet, you could see history. Apparently, everything that's uploaded is saved, screenshotted. So there's proof to show that they actually went and changed it. Now, the question is, why did the Ministry of Health change the figures? Is it because they were wrong at first? Or who knows? I mean, we've already seen that they're lying. So why would they not be lying here? Now, another thing to conclude, I was talking to my friends in the UK the other day, and I mentioned to them, that there's no pandemic. And they said, well, what do you mean no pandemic? We were told that the amount of people who died in the UK has increased, blah, blah, blah. So I went and I looked at the National Office. Here we go. This is where I got it from. So you can see that the Office for National Statistics of the UK, everyone can go and download these Excel spreadsheets just like in Israel. So on the 2nd of March, the most updated one. Now, what does it say? As we can see here, these are previous years. This is 2019. 604,000 people died in the UK totally. 2018, 616,000, etc. It goes on all the way to the 1800s. It goes far, very far back, you see, till 1849 or whatever. So the shocking information here, which is quite similar to what happened in Israel, is if I look at the 2020, you see total deaths, all ages in 2020 in the UK, you can see the weekly here. I've totaled all the weekly here, and it's 614 people died in 2020. Now, this information was released, as I said, a week ago. So it's like 2 months after the end of last year. So surely they had enough time to get together the amount of dead, which is 614. Now, if we go back to my, as I said, to the previous years, we see that in 2019, 604. So there's about 10,000 difference. If we go back here, I could show you, I've written it nicely. So in 2019, 604 people died. In 2020, 614, which means an increase, a slight increase of 9,407. Now, if 9,400 more people died in 2020, is that a problem? Let's ask ourselves. Well, between 2014 and 2015, 32,000 more people died in the UK. And between 2011 and 2012, 16,000 more people died in the UK. I don't remember the UK being locked down or, extreme draconian measures being taken against the people because of those increases. So, well, that's basically it. If you want to bring me back on screen, I want to show a few more things. Sorry. There's more stuff here. Here, there's the website in Israel, which shows people, because everything is being censored. I mean, I know because I've been censored on YouTube and everywhere else. That's why we have an independent channel called wearefree.tv, where I interview everyday people who come and talk about all this stuff that's that you're not allowed to talk about on mainstream TV. And as you can see here, I'm showing you screenshots of people sharing what happened to them, you know, on Telegram, on WhatsApp. Now, I'm just going to read a few here. It says, a 70-year-old man died 2 hours after being vaccinated. My husband went and got vaccinated, and now he feels extremely bad. My mother is in a bad state. Stay away from the vaccinations. A person died a few hours after getting vaccinated. Today at work, somebody told me that a perfectly well 40-year-old man was vaccinated and now he's paralyzed, blah, blah, blah. What should I do? Look how many, I'm just going to go down. Look, we're talking about thousands of people who are telling their story on Telegram because nobody is going to let them publish that on any. And look at that, people showing what happened there. This guy in his eye, terrible conditions and skin rashes, you name it, people collapsing, etc. So that's a site, and there's many more sites like that. Then I've shown that, and here, this is the viral video I was telling you about that was explaining all the, analyzing all the data, and the final thing, well, that's basically it, yeah. So okay. There you have it.
Well, very good. Thank you so much for that, Michael. Really helpful overview, thank brother. You. Thanks so much indeed. I'm going to bring in next Gal Shalev, who is a researcher, a creative a documentarian and filmmaker. Gal Shalev, you're very welcome. How are you, brother?
How are you, Sasha? I want to say thank you for having us on and you know, shedding some light on the medical tyranny that's happening here in Israel. So thank you for having us.
Indeed. Just before you give us an overview of the status quo, I just want to ask the audience, we've got well over 2,000 people here, moving up to 2,500 people joined us. And can I just ask you friends, please to all share, or as many of you as can, please do share this live link. We're not even halfway through, but this information is dynamic and is devastating. It's got to get out there. I can tell you for nothing, this will be stripped by the morning. Okay, it'll reach 50,000 people in the next few hours, 100,000 people by the morning, and then we'll be taken down and we'll have to transfer the media elsewhere. In the meantime, the only way of getting this information out is by you guys. So please do it. Press share and get it out now. Gal, you've got the floor, brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you for everybody who's watching. And thank you for my friends here on the panel. Each one of them is doing amazing work. And we're trying to do it together. At the end of the day, I think the most important and potent situation that we have right now is a psychological warfare being taken on by the government, by the mainstream media, together in cahoots. Against the average person. And all of us, anyone who's on this panel and probably anybody who's watching at home, feels this within their family. They feel this within their neighborhood. We're outcasted. This is apartheid. This is full on apartheid. You know, we can't go into places if we're not vaccinated. But more than that, we're socially shunned. We're socially shunned out, and you can feel it. Now, people like me who are outspoken and they just don't give a shit because I care about my daughter more than I care about people liking me, we can handle it. But if we started a large group that was kind of against this medical tyranny, slowly but surely, you know, this massive group is starting to dematerialize into this, you know, social credit score, mandatory vaccination. So basically what happens in Israel right now is once you get your second vaccination, you get this thing called a green passport. And without this green passport, you're pretty much rendered useless. You can't go to work. You can't go into restaurants. You can't go to the gym. You can't go into many places. There still are places where you can go, like, for example, like a shopping mall or something like that. But that's slowly going away as well. So what they're doing right now is on the one hand, it seems like it's a medical procedure where they want you to be healthy. But at the end of the day, really what it is a social credit score. And if you don't keep up with this vaccination regime, you're going to be taken off this credit score. So anybody who got both their vaccines, you know, they were scared of the virus. They thought maybe, you know, they want to do this for their, you know, elderly family, and they want to take care of everybody around them. And it's not about the tyranny. They don't even think about the tyranny. They just think that this is the right thing to do. after they got their second vaccination, if they don't get their third, which our government is already talking about coming in the summer, that green passport that they received will be rendered useless. So you could already tell anybody who is willing to look further into the future, you could already tell that this is something that's going to, you know, continue on forever. And, you know, next year it might be the flu shot that they want you to get. And if you don't get it, you don't get your passport, or it might be any other medical treatment that they want to put on you. And it basically becomes a social, you know, a social credit medical tyranny. And I want to kind of strengthen what you've said, Sasha, about the, you know, the Nazi regime type of, you know, continuation. And you're 100% right. And this is not a conspiracy theory. This is all on, you can find it in Wikipedia. You can find it in mainstream media. This is something that even Bill Gates's family is involved in for over 100 years. If you look back, Bill Gates's family on the one side, on his dad's side, they were they were funding Margaret Sanger, which is she was head of Eugenics America. Eugenics America was working simultaneously while eugenics was working in Germany under Joseph Mengele. And Joseph Mengele, his office or his medical practice was under the Kaiser Institute. If anybody goes into the Kaiser Institute on Wikipedia in Germany, Kaiser Institute Germany, you will see Joseph Mengele's picture there, and you will see who funds it, and that was the Rockefellers. So it's black and white, you know, it's all there, it's factual, it's not a conspiracy theory. So the same people who are funding, you know, Joseph Mengele today are funding, you know, they're the ones who opened up John Hopkins Hospital. John Hopkins Hospital and University is the hospital and university who's like the main source to go to with anything that has to do with the coronavirus. They funded the 201 event that happened a few months just before the spread of the pandemic, and they've been partners with Bill Gates for over 100 years, him and his family. So there's a lot to get into there, but I just wanted to strengthen what you said and say it's not a conspiracy theory, you know.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Galf, underscoring that. For me, it's really the essential part, because civilizationally, we've always been corralled and herded and dream spelled and cult programmed into these different boxes. And we take the conceptual framework as reality because that's what we were informed at birth, whether it's cultural or religious programming, social programming, familial programming. It's all the same goddamn thing. It's the enemy of the Atman. It's the enemy of supernature. It's the enemy of our divine nature. And this, for me, the beauty of where we're at today is that right now, this is the greatest time for the awakening of the true supernature, the superluminal human that's within each of us. That's definitely the creature that is arising. I'm going to just introduce, I'll take Gal off into the green room for a moment and bring in our last panelist, who's Lloyd Apter, living in Israel for the last 30 years, founder of a not-for-profit group dealing with human rights, 6,000 members in Israel, who eventually is seeking to launch a class action. But there are legal issues in Israel, I dare say there are legal issues in Lloyd. You'll want to unmute your microphone, but you're very welcome to join us here today.
Thank you very much, Sasha. It's a real honor to be even in this group and be in conversation with you. Really.
Well, give us your background, Lloyd, on the status quo as you see it, and okay. And also speak a little bit about what you're planning to do with this class action. You got my interest.
Okay. Thank you. So as most people know, Israel's been under a state of emergency since last year. And under a state of emergency, that the government is able to introduce laws under the state of emergency. So they can pretty much change all the laws and regulations. So there's very little you can do legally under this state of emergency. And the state of emergency will continue until about June, when they'll need to decide if they need to vote in a continuation of the state of emergency or the state of emergency will just end. And then at that time, then a lot of the laws that have been introduced now will, I guess, just disappear. So the group that I'm working with, we call ourselves the Right to Choose, which in Hebrew is Chofesh Le'Bechira, Livcho, Chofesh Livcho. And this is really where we see the, you know, taking the argument to a point where no one can argue with it. Because unfortunately, even with all the blatant lying going on, I mean, it's just so blatant, and it's just, it encompasses everything, the entire spectrum. I mean, it's really ridiculous. But even at that point, there's something people cannot argue about, and that's the right to choose. I have the right to choose what I put into my body, regardless, approved, not approved, whatever, it's going to save the world, whatever reason, I have that right. And it was defined in the Nuremberg Code. And the reason why they wrote the Nuremberg Code is because they knew that in the future, that some type of possibility of a intervention, like some type of medical experiment would happen, that people would need that protection, that they have the right to choose. That's the basis of everything. So that's the basis of our group. What we faced with, a lot of our members, like you correctly said, we more than 6,500 members at the moment. A lot of these people work in companies throughout Israel, and they're now sanctioned. They either have to come with a green passport to work, or they need to take a test, the PCR test, every 72 hours. So in order for them to take the PCR test every 72 hours, it takes like a day or so to get the results. So like, it doesn't even work practically. And then also to expect people to take tests like ongoing forever, it's just not realistic. So that's very much our push, is we're looking for legal remedy, you know, where we can win this battle. And I believe where we can win this battle is first of all, the legal remedy, where we can actually, where we have a footing. And the second thing is to also have public support and public sympathy. So it's like very touchy in Israel, because we are a non-violent society, although Israel is a, you know, has been at war with its neighbors and that, but like,
yeah, you got a nuclear bomb. How can you not be violent?
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. But if you compare it to South Africa, and like, if you remember, South Africa people are more physical, you know, and so you don't see a lot of violent demonstrations in Israel, and people are pretty much conservative in that respect. So we have to sort of like outwit and outmaneuver the opposition. That's like or the tragedy. We're looking for legal remedy. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you might want to might take a conversation up with the iconic Tamir Turgal, because he's the closest thing we've got to an arbiter of justice. I'm going to bring you in here if you don't mind, Tamir. Wrap 2 minutes on legal remedy. How close is anyone in Israel to being able to prosecute for legal remedy in real terms?
Yes, well, this is a very problematic situation in Israel right now. I think we have the weakest Supreme Court group in decades. I think it hasn't begun lately. It's going on for many years now, definitely since the current prime minister is in charge, and his main activity and role in this within the society of Israel, and I think all the people in the panel will agree with me, is about dividing us, dividing people, and diminishing the powers that balancing each other in democracy, which is the powers balancing the parliament. Sorry, and the parliament is balancing the government, and that's how it goes. We also don't have any real mainstream media and journalism. We don't have that anymore. It's all bought by rich people. And that's why there is no really balanced information going to the public. It's more like propaganda channels. So for me, it's like the systems are working together. So I can give an example. There were quite a few appeals to the Supreme Court during 2020, and now in 2021 as well. Because there are many things that the government is doing. So obviously people are opposing. You go to court, you go to the Supreme Court. It's a special tribunal for something that is happening right now, what we call Bagatz. It's like when it's the highest session for rights, and we asked lawyers are representing people from the country are asking the court to help. So it there might be lockdowns. They're locking the skies now. Many restrictions that are going on. And one of the appeals that I was involved with was about the masks, because we are one of the only three countries in the world that are requiring mandate mask wearing everywhere. That means like on the street, if you're alone in the park, there will be some officer to jump on you and give you a fine if you don't wear a mask or you don't wear it properly. So we went to the Supreme Court and asked, and I asked a very specific question because I wanted to a very straight answer, which can also have an effect on other cases and other appeals. I asked, does the government has the right to impose that, to mandate something to wear on your body? And I thought that if the court will tackle it and discuss about it and make a decision, that will have also influence about PCR test mandating that, which they try to do only in one city and they stopped it for now, and also mandating vaccines, which is trying to do today, what they're trying to do today at present. Because I see a straight line between all those three. I think covering your mouth and nose on your face, so it's not invasive, but it's touching your face and it diminishes your ability to breathe. And then moving forward to invasive tests, which it puts something in your throat or your nose, and then going into invasive treatment when they put some material in your body, which is what's so called the vaccination. In my case, which I went to the Supreme Court, and in different than all the other cases, the Supreme Court normally answer between 3 to 4, 5 days. We took them 30 days to give me an answer.
Yeah.
And their answer was, well, it's you waited too long when you came to us, because it was about 5 months between the rule and then when we went to the government to ask them. And they even made a mistake because they said you waited 8 months, because that was the time we put the appeal on the table. But that's not correct. However, this is a temporary rule. So that means it's every month they renew it. So if we appealed, that was relevant to the last time they renew it. So it was less than months. They are weak. They are thinking about what there's going to be written on them the next day on the newspaper.
Yes, good.
Even though they are a public servant, these all people, as the parliament, the government, and all the clerks, the official, as you say it very properly, they are all clerks. They're working for us, and they're public servants, and they should stay in that position. But unfortunately, the atmosphere made people think that they have power in hand and they are elite.
Let me speak to that a moment, brother. I mean, we all know 9/11 was an orchestration. This is something which is really the Achilles heel of the New World Order, because it'll never go away. Bringing the two biggest steel buildings into their own footprint and rendering them into dust, moved against every law of physics. We all know the satanic agenda behind it. We all know the creation of this idea of Islamism and this creation of this threat of the mad mullahs and the engineering of dystopia, cultural dystopia in the world through the terrorism was an effort to trample on habeas corpus, to completely violate and flout all international law norms up until then because of the threat of terrorism. That didn't work. It took 20 years for people of the world just to kind of wipe that out and walk away from that myth, that complete mythology. And then, of course, bringing in this new mythology of a stealth virus, an existential threat that's so pervasive that it's everywhere all at the same time, except you can't fucking see the thing. You can't even isolate it in a petri dish. It's never been identified or isolated. So forget the vaccine for a moment. Let's talk about the goddamn bug. Let me ask you briefly, Dr. Moran, does the virus exist in your mind? You need to unmute, forgive me.
Yes, it's a very good question, Sasha. I must admit that I'm not specialized in virology or something like that, but I could never get an answer from the specialist about, have you ever seen this virus? Some of the virologists speak about exosomes, which are genetic materials that our body produces. It's like our garbage or the defecation of the cells, and which they are most similar or maybe identical to the viruses. So we are speaking about genetic material, which is wrapped with a membrane, which is exactly the same as exosome, which our body produces.
Right.
I was also trying to look for some experiments who prove that infectious diseases are actually contagious, and some virologists suggest that they never could prove that we can contagiate each other with an infectious disease.
That's correct. So, that's entirely correct.
So I want to admit that the science is very confusing. I'm not sure what is the truth anymore.
Okay, well, before I bring Michael in to answer to that, I mean, I have spent the last 1 year meeting with Dell, Bigtree, Kennedy, Northrop, Tenpenny, Batur, Wakefield, Kaufman. I mean, most of the greats out there. I spend time with them. I meet most of them every week on Brain Trust meetings. And I can tell you that essentially we're dealing with something which in and of itself doesn't exist. So an excretion event, an exosomic response, all of that stuff is what we're dealing with. The distinction between the living and the dead comes down in medical science to the distinction between Florence Nightingale and Louis Pasteur. Louis Pasteur, who was an evil proxy of the Rockefeller Covenant, that son of a bitch completely lied and inverted medical science into scientism and created, done all of that work and said, no, we're dealing with terrain. We're dealing with the pressure conditions and circumstances and the way in which biological systems respond to certain conditions. That's it. But the idea of transmission of germs is an absolute bloody nonsense. Now, when you get into biological weaponry, yes, when you're talking about designing these creatures that can then transmit, yes, that's a different game altogether. And again, we'd have to also look at the Sabbatean covenant existing behind the global agrochemical industry base and the global pharmaceutical base, because that satanic echelon have absolutely, and we're talking Rothschild here, the people who built your Knesset and built much of Israel, incidentally. This Rothschildian crypto-Jewish element is almost entirely responsible for aggregating this evil empire and the weaponization of against the human genome. That is more or less the status as I've seen it. And again, I'm not a long-haired hippie. I've been speaking to retrovirologists, virologists, epidemiologists, nonstop, day in, day out, from all cultures and faiths around the world for the last year. Michael, your comments, please.
Yes, thank you very much. I'd like to actually talk about the virus, whether it exists or not, and from the point of view of the engineers behind the scene of this scam, the scamdemic. So I've read an article, very interesting, that says that basically, if imagine if you want to engineer a fake disease, a fake pandemic. So what you could do is you could, first of all, you need to convert, as we saw, the same amount of people die every year, more or less. So you don't have excess dead people to hang this new scamdemic on. So how do you convert the existing dying people and perfectly healthy people to people who are accused or detected as having this new, let's say, this abracadabra disease that you want to engineer? So what you do is you need to basically find a test that is either positive, it renders either positive or negative result. Now, let's take, for the sake of this explanation, imagine we had the abracadabra disease that doesn't exist, but we want to make it seem as if it does. We then take a Mickey Mouse test for this example, and let's say that the test tests the existence of air molecules in a certain space. So that's perfect because there are air molecules everywhere. So if you go and test all the people who are just ill, who have different diseases from cancer to high blood pressure, you name it, then they will obviously come out positive because they have air bubbles around a certain, sorry, air molecules. Now that's, so then you, what you then do is you go to a place, let's say like Wuhan, to a hospital where there are a few critically ill patients of any disease, and you then test them. And obviously it's going to be positive because they also have air molecules present in their bodies. And then you say, wow, look at that. This test, this Mickey Mouse test came out positive when we tested these critically ill people and they have the abracadabra disease. Then you wait a few days and what happens? They die because they were critically ill. And then you say, the abracadabra disease is so bad, it's lethal. It killed those poor people who were tested first. Now, what you have to do is you send out the Mickey Mouse thousands and hundreds of thousands, millions of Mickey Mouse tests all over the world to different destinations, hospitals, and you make them test people. Now, as we know, everyone or most of the people are going to come out positive. So now you can say, well, look, all these ill people that are being tested have this abracadabra disease. And then you send out more Mickey Mouse tests, and then that renders more positive results. And there you have your and then what you do then, still you have a problem because the amount of deaths stays the same as we saw. So now what you do is you need to invent something called asymptomatic patients who also have air molecules, as we know, and you start testing perfectly healthy people with the Mickey Mouse disease, and they also come out as positive for abracadabra disease. And then you just keep rolling it and rolling it and batching
Michael. Michael, all I'm hearing, and you're entirely right in every single thing you've said, is that the entirety of the apparatus of governance, superstructure of governments, is entirely corrupted and rotten to the core. Whether you're talking about statisticians, you're talking about the researchers and analysts who are also paid by the status quo, the clinicians, the doctors, the nurses, the hospital administrators, the public health administrators, the multilateral health administration sector. And when you get to the real motherfuckers, which is the Anthony Fauci's of this world and the Bill Gates's of this world, who are absolutely in a satanic a collusion and conspiracy on behalf of their own Sabbatean transnational cabal to bring about a global depopulation agenda, which is what it is, more than that, an intervention of the human genome. And that's something else altogether. We're being brought here into an AI transhumanist and even extraterrestrial dimension to this conversation, which is actually the real conversation that they know that the mainstream is ill-equipped to ever begin to have that conversation. We are equipped to have that conversation. And in taking this forward, we will be speaking to those elements in the days ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I agree with you. However, and not however, I would like to add to that, that not everyone in this chain you mentioned needs to be corrupt. Because now, obviously, the test that was used for the existing corona pandemic, scandemic, wasn't called Mickey Mouse test. It's a PCR test. Now, the PCR test is perfect because... the reason it's perfect is because it tests for a family of coronaviruses that existed since the 60s and has a wide range of symptoms. Now, the thing is, the person who invented this test is called Kerry Mullins. He died in 2019, I believe, mysteriously. I mean, imagine if he was alive today, stating everywhere that his test. Which he did. He wrote specifically that this test is not meant to detect viruses.
I'm meeting with his widow next week. It's on my schedule, so I dare say we'll find more about dear.
One last thing. So the reason not everybody has to be corrupt is, imagine now we have this PCR test, and if you were to ask any doctor. And you say, if you challenged any doctor and said to them, you know that this PCR test is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with it. It definitely does not detect an alleged SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19. What do you think he's going to say to you? I'm sure he's going to say, well, what do you want from me? I'm not the Ministry of Health. I'm just a doctor. I was given a test. I use it. That's it. So he's not a conspirator, but he's part of this genius plan without even him knowing. He's just being exploited.
Indeed. So, Michael, can people find the documents that you were referring to earlier? A number of folks have asked, can they refer to those documents?
Yes, of course. Well, wearefree.tv is our independent channel. And how should I send it? Should I send it to you? Or I'll just put it up there. I'll put
you can put it into the comments on the side. If you hit the comments tab at the very bottom, you can put it in there. And I wanted to ask Tamir Turgal. Tamir, a lot of the referencing that Michael did earlier on those documents, which he was showing us, were clearly written in order to inform the public. That's why they were published. That's why they were commissioned. That's why they were written. They were put into the public domain. And look how much of that was blacked out. Would you be interested in the legalities of the blocking of those particular passages?
Yes, this is something that many of my colleagues are talking about, the transparency. It's not only that, the government of Israel decided that they are going to make a confidential for 30 years all their discussions about corona and decision-making basis. So this is one of the things that I'm sure is going to be attacked legally. So far, there are, lawyers are talking about it and prepare that. I can tell you about myself that I'm dealing so much with emergencies that I don't have time now to work on a class actions on a bigger scale. But I have a group of lawyers that are becoming to work around me, many of them volunteering, and we are defining what we want to attack. Now in Israel, because against the law, by the way, against the law, just a new norm that the government and the mass media is propagating to the people, to the workplaces, people are being forced to take vacation or even get fired from the workplaces if they don't show a vaccination proof. Now, what I'm telling to the public, and I'm trying to educate all the time, is that we don't talk about vaccination or not, because they're trying to, as Dr. Moran says, to make it as a normal way of speaking with each other about our privacy of medical procedures. We have human rights. Human rights, by their nature, some of them are fundamental. They are primal. That means that as a human being, regardless where you are at the world right now, what kind of government is over there, and it's also not dependent on time, whether it's a pandemic or a stressful time, some of our rights are cogentic. You cannot condition them by anything. One of those is our right for privacy in medical procedure. We, as a society, worldwide, we want the society interest is that people will have medical procedures only, and I emphasize only, if they really want it, only if it's some or to take something or reject it and do it privately. If you don't do it privately, it will never be your own decision. If you know that the outcome is going to be you're going to get fired or you're going to get more rights back if you do something, then your decision about taking something or rejecting it will be based on what is going to happen to you regardless of your medical condition or what you want. I'm not going to elaborate more on this. I want to have open conversation. But later on, if we have time, I would like to explain something about Bill Gates. I think by his own analysis, he's either lying or wrong. But when he's talking about reducing population by increasing health of the population, so less families will have more less kids than today. And I think by his own calculation, he's probably lying to us. And a big question mark regarding to explain it right now, just a big question, how come this person that is trying, is talking about depopulating the amount of people in the world, is trying to help to save everybody with his vaccines. Let's say that he believes his vaccine is going to save the people. He was supposed to be one of those people sitting inside right now, as sad as it is that the population is going to be reduced because of this horrible, of course, fake pandemic. But he wasn't supposed to be the one to save everybody if he wants to depopulize us. So just for now.
Thank you, Tommy. I couldn't agree more. Look, I'm going to bring the full panel on now. I'm also going to be keeping an eye on comments. So really appreciate the fact that there's getting up to 3,000 people in our little theater here with us. Okay, so my 10 cents worth so far before I bring the panel in. Two words, civil disobedience. Guys, civil disobedience is actually a duty of care. So you have a duty of care to tell the government to go and stuff itself when it steps over the line. Government has always stepped over the line. Government, by definition, is stepping over the line of human sovereignty and of natural law. Governments are entirely rogue and they shouldn't exist, okay? That's the fact of the matter. And yes, human beings managed for tens of thousands of years to auto-determine themselves and be the arbiters of their own destiny, their own fate, and grow fucking apples and oranges and live happily ever after, okay? So get this out of your stupid heads, and this is a rhetorical, that we need government. We never did. It's something that crept in since the Vatican, the satanic Vatican Church, weaponized the message of Yeshua, Isa bin Maryam, converted that into Satanism, and then delivered unto us the hegemony of the crowns of Europe through central command and control and blood ritualism. That's all the goddamn Belgian crown gave us. That's all the goddamn British crown gave us. The French, the Germans, all of them. The French, the Spanish, and the Portuguese, and the Dutch. Okay? The imperial hegemony of the crowns of Europe with the extension of the Vatican complex. Okay, get that straight. They bastardized and butchered Judaism. And infiltrated it along the way. They bastardized and butchered Christianity. They bastardized and butchered the message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. All of the great avatars and masters who had a perfect good cultural reason for their beautiful message of the day. All of that stuff was co-opted, butchered, bastardized, mutated into what we've got today, which is supreme command and control within a luciferic echelon operating now through the apparatus of all governments, which themselves are indentured to their banks and the banksters and the consolidated banker class, IMF, World Bank, Bank of International Settlements. Israel plays a huge role in that, okay? You always have done. You also have been very weaponized since your inception, since the Balfour Declaration. The point is this. We need to stop identifying with government and with being governed. That's the point of this. That's the gift we give to ourselves by awakening within this dream spell. Good living men and women of the living soil, sons and daughters of God, learn the art of civil disobedience. Learn to withhold taxes. Personal income taxes should never be paid. It's a crime against yourself. It's a crime against reason. It is you defrauding yourself because the goddamn state monetizes and securitizes you anyway without ever telling you. Okay, since the day of your birth, when you're flipped into a fucking birth certificate and a treasury bond, learn what's going on in the Babylonian basement. If you really care about what is happening with Corona and COVID, really use this time in the cave. Okay, when you're forced off the streets to wear a stupid mask and play into a pantomime, at least use this God-given time to really go into the basement and face the horrors. I'm not talking about the articulation of the Holocaust. I'm talking about the Holocaust that's happening today that Israel is playing a very foundational role in, perpetrating against the rest of humanity. It is shameful, and it's required that the good sons and daughters of God in Israel stand up now, today. Okay, civil disobedience. It is your duty of care. Withhold those goddamn taxes. Deregister your children, your farms, your vehicles from the state apparatus, which is satanic in extreme. Begin the art of prosecution. Learn from people like Tamir Turgal and his friends. Name and shame every witless, gutless, and godless little tyrant. Petty tyrant on the streets of Tel Aviv and Nazareth. Everywhere in Israel. Name and shame them. Get their faces on Facebook, the police, the tyrants, the enablers of the status quo, every little petty tyrant in the local nightclub or restaurant or supermarket. Start to name and shame the sons of bitches because that's what they are, okay? You must do this. We don't get another chance. We are being censored. We're being taken down. The algorithms are out of control. The AI transhumanism is out of control. It is beginning to erode and corrode our very possibility of human exchange and communication. That is where we are at right now. Michael, I've got to give the floor to other people for a moment. I'm just going to invite here the entire panel to begin to communicate amongst themselves for the next 10 minutes. And I'm going to take some salient questions from our audience. But Michael, set the pace, ask the first question or raise the first point.
Well, I'd like to say something following what you said. We are involved now with a group of people called Mapecha B'Shidur Chai, which in English means live revolution. So what we're doing is we're bringing like a critical mass of, we believe, 144,000 people in Israel that are going to coordinate mass action through an app or through a platform that we're developing now. The first action is going to be on the 20th of March. 144,000 people in Israel are going to take their mobile phones and switch on the light and say, "May the truth be known." Obviously referring to the fact, as Tamir Togal mentioned, that the corona discussions by our politicians last year have been classified for 30 years. Why on earth must we wait 30 years to find out why our politicians decided to come out with all these draconian actions against us, which, as you said, are unlawful, etc.? So, Mapecha B'Shidur Chai, 144,000 Israelis switching on their lights in their phones, causing and going to shout, "Let Ha'emet Tetze La'or, the truth, may the truth be known." And imagine thousands of people in the streets of Tel Aviv shouting together, "May the truth be known." That is going to get a lot of attention. Now Israeli TV are going to have to listen to that. You can't have 144,000 people screaming in the street, "May the truth be known," and ignore it. Plus, other channels, you know, around the world are going to take notice. And we believe that's going to start moving what you just said. Because people on their own are not going to go and shame anybody. Definitely not the government people. Everybody's afraid here. Everybody's been segregated and separated.
But you're describing a precondition that exists all around the world. But that's to do with generations of cult programming. And, you know, gargling fluoride and drinking goddamn alcohol. And swallowing glyphosates in every food product that's been pumped onto the supermarket shelves by these godless creatures that are operating through the aegis of the government. So that's my point. Every human being just needs to step back, go back to the soil, go back to your reason, your conscience, your God-given conscience. That's all you need. It's what brings each one of us here on this conversation. You're very brave people coming out here. Israel is weaponized against people speaking the truth. And that's happening all around the world right now. Look, let's begin to wrap this up. We're 6:15. Gal Shalev, please, brother, give us your closing comments. We'll need to unmute you there. There we go. Yeah, you're not unmuted.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you, first of all, again, for the great panel that you brought on here today. And everybody's doing an amazing job. And everybody here is kind of like, you know, a soldier on a front line. Each one has its own weapons. You know, some people are better in other things. Some people are actual professionals, like Dr. Moran that we have here, and Tamir Turgal, which is a lawyer, and Lloyd is doing an amazing job. And same with Michael. What I'd like to kind of put out there, which is extremely important to me, is it's one thing to preach to the choir. So it's one thing to preach to the people who already believe in all this stuff and already understand it, and they live it and they know it. And it's another thing bringing people from the dark into the light. And that's a very difficult job, because there's a lot of ridicule and there's a lot of infighting. And I think what is important for the people who are listening to me, who think that thing is important, do it and do it well and do it with patience and no ridicule. Don't make people feel stupid for what they believe, because it's just really important to bring them in slowly. I mean, I couldn't imagine what it's like to be a 40-year-old who believes in the system so much and then wakes up to this atrocity of lies and deceit. So that's probably my most important point.
Thank you, Gal. Lloyd, please unmute your microphone and your closing comments, brother.
I believe we're dealing with a story that is very ancient, and we're at a crossroads. And we're talking about really a planet that's moving from a third dimension to a fifth dimension. In order to move to this fifth dimension, you need to have a bridge, a fourth dimensional bridge. Now, this fourth dimensional bridge is where we're all at. That's why we see, we can read 3D now. We read it, like all of us. So what we say is just like regurgitating. And I believe what we need to do is we need to come together. Because ultimately, on the fifth dimension, we need to develop the human consciousness globally, a human consciousness grid that will envelop the entire planet. This is the point, and that will nurture every single human being within the planet, and that every single human being within the planet will voluntarily and freely feed the grid. So we need to come together. This is a really important thing. And when we come together, we don't try and, you know, run our own agendas, but we drop, like they say, you know, no ego. You know, we drop it all, no ego. And we'll just come together and we know who's good at everything. You know, we know who's the leader in every sphere. So
indeed.
I believe in us, and I believe in the people here, and I hope we can connect after this this
beautiful,
fantastic opportunity.
Thank you, Sasha. That's very beautiful. Thank you. Dr. Moran, please, your closing comments.
Okay, so of course, thank you, Sasha, and thank you, brothers, for having me here. And thank you for your support. This is a very important period of time for us, as Lloyd said. I'm really trying to tell it to myself and to you also. Please, let's try to spread as much love, unconditional love, as much as we can, and come together. I would like to do that most instead of fighting the darkness, because when I fight the darkness, I just lose energy. But when I spread love and light, I become stronger. So it's very, very important to come together and to support each other, and to make spiritual healing. Don't focus on the material. We are not made out of material. We have to heal ourselves and our brothers with spiritual and conscious work. And please help us, God, to do that, and to be an instrument, a good instrument, to help each other and to bring deep healing. And thank you all. Love you.
Thank you, Dr. Moran. Michael, please, your closing comments, brother.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, obviously, for organizing this extremely important live. I'd like to mention again, our website is called wearefree.tv. Well, it's actually your website. It's the people's website, and I'm referring to the people all over the world. So every person has the right to be interviewed. All you need to do is contact me. I'd love Sasha Stone to be the next person I interview. What we do is we talk about the subjects. We tailor-make specific questions that suit every guest. There's no surprises. You get the questions in advance, and then we schedule a day and time for me to ask you those questions. That's all. That's as simple as that. So hopefully you're going to be our next guest, and maybe you could put me in touch with other people around the world who could exercise their right to be interviewed on the People's Channel, wearefree.tv.
Great. Thank you so much. Michael, thank you so much. And yes, I'll agree happily here. Just contact Debbie after this show, and I'd love to do that. And Tamir, I'm going to bring you on for your closing comments. But before I do, it just occurred to me, you know, I think this panel is brilliant. I moderate panels every single day, and I really love this ecology here, because we've got the right components here that are really building up a holographic idea. If you're all equal to it, I'd be very keen to bring this panel back together in a month from today, almost to the day, if we can do it. And then maybe what we can do for the whole world is start to show Israel as a litmus. And once a month, we do a pulse event. And because I know that if we can begin the disentanglement of this draconian bullshit in Israel, and we can get everyone to work with you guys variously and really bolster the support, I think Israel is in many ways the center of the earth. I mean, you know, there's a reason why it's kind of the holy of holies. I discovered this fairly recently. I believe it's because from Nazareth, from Jerusalem, you can walk further on the surface of the earth, you know, unimpeded than from anywhere other point on the surface of the earth, which kind of makes sense. So you get back to why the seeding of the gestalt, the whole kind of Adamite, Abrahamic thing emerges through that sacred zone. So I have a feeling that we should do homage to the fact that you guys are anchoring such conflict, such a hyperdimensional energetic as well, and such a social ecological imperative. So thank you for nodding your heads in agreement. That's now on the public record. You're not going to get out of that one. We've got almost 3,000 people joined us. It's very unusual for an afternoon with no marketing at all. next time. And by tomorrow morning, like I said, this one's probably going to go between 50 and 100,000 overnight. You know, and people are really paying attention to this conversation, guys. I salute all of you. Tamir, your closing comments, please.
Okay, so like everybody else, I want to thank you, Sasha, for inviting us all. We all know that we are a unique voices in the state of Israel right now, and there is a lot of hit that we are taking. And it's a very encouraging to see your work and global activity, because I'm trying to be on both sides, working also on global coalition. I would just say to the people that are listening right now, pay close attention to what's going on in Israel, because you're next. And if you don't understand the political and everything that is going on right now and this trying to change the face of society, literally, it's going to be on your doorsteps very soon. So that's one thing I want to say. Another thing I want to say, I agree with the people here, and I promise Michael and Gal, I'm going to go on your shows too, because I already promised and never done it before. This is a dark time. This is really a very dark time. But you know what happens in a very dark room? A very small light is shined strongly, even a small light. So we are representing those small lights, and we are much more than what people tend to think, because we don't have the mainstream channels of the media. But because of social media, because of that the truth cannot be stopped anymore. It goes up from earth. And this is also coming from the Bible. The truth will come from the earth upstairs. So we are shining, and sometimes this light is too strong for many people. Gal, as you said, some people, they don't have the capacity to accept, to understand. And it takes time. But time is on our side, because whatever they're trying to do to the people of the world right now, some vicious people executing some vicious plans, at the time elapsing, and more people elapses, and more people are waking up. So I'm going to end with, I have more things to say, so I'm very happy that we're going to be here next month. But I want to say, I'm trying to build an army of love, which is the lawyers that are coming beside me right now and just helping me people. First of all, just giving people the back that they need, and also taking some stuff to small courts or just even negotiating for them. But I'm also trying to build an army of lawyers globally. And I'm working with Reinhold Fulmich, which is amazing guy. And I'm connected with Marie Holland, and through this group also to Robert Kennedy and others. And eventually, I think we didn't talk about it this time, maybe the next time we'll talk about the next day. I think the world is going through a change, and we will not stop by just pushing this fake pandemic. We will push forward to change our world, a different society, different universities, different education, different science, real science, not corporation science. So I really, really appreciate us all coming together, and you, Sasha, in particular. Thank you very, very much.
Tamir Turgal, Gal Shalev, Michael Bloom, Lloyd Apter, Dr. Moran Cronenberg. Friends, thank you so much for joining us. And to the 3,000 people, yes, we're syndicating on about 4 or 5 different platforms here. So if you're seeing 500 people or 300 or 900 people on your tubes, that's not the numbers. We've got about 3,000 live in the room with us, and only I can see that from the studio here. But like I said, the numbers will amp up by the morning. There'll be tens of thousands of people. It's important that we keep this conversation moving out. We're going to join you in 1 month, more or less today. I'll ask Rachel and Debbie if they can try and get the schedules lined up for my brothers and sisters here for the 9th of April, 2021. And let's use Litmus as a Israel as a litmus test for where we take this. Friends, thank you for staying all the way through this broadcast. It's been a good one, a great conversation. Much love to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.